is nuts. I'm getting nuttier. And just need to be more squirrels around to gather the nuts and bury them. I tell you what, that shows you, that thing on Muslim there, that shows you someone's not thinking. Or at least they're not thinking right, right? They're blind. They're hast eine Vogel. That means they have a bird. They're bird brain. And we laugh at that stuff, but some people take that. I mean, how could you even take that serious, really? How could anybody just listen to someone talk like that after something horrific happened, people lost their lives, and more worried about anti-Muslim talk, you know? And then you get kind of the answer right after that. Here's this guy who's supposed to be a spiritual leader, supposed to be giving truth out, hope to people. He has no hope himself. On the edges of faith? Talk like that makes me, I mean, I don't know anything about the guy. I don't know who he is. But it makes me think he's never been born again. Never been saved. I mean, the Spirit in me rejoices around God talk. And if you don't like to be around God talk, there's one or two things. You're lost or you're backslidden and running from God. You're like Jonah. You're trying to get somewhere where you think he ain't. All right. Well, amen. It's good to be here this morning. And thank God for a night of rest. Thank Him for just being good to us. Well, that song we sang there, "This Is My Father's World." There's a lot of things since I've been saved, I've really grown to appreciate in a lot of ways. And I appreciate God's creation. I really do. I get a fascination in a lot of things. And one of the things it amazes me how wise and powerful my God is. You walk out into a field somewhere, and as I have been several times and many times, and you look down in summertime in July and August, and here's all these little creatures down there that most of the time you pay no attention to. And a lot of times they're nothing but a pest to be sprayed or, stomped on and swatted away. There are so many kinds of those little creatures. And my God spoke and poof, there they were. He didn't have to scratch his head and work a little bit and scratch his head again and work a little bit and, that's just not right, let me go back. No. And that's just them little things down there you hardly can see. And then He's put things down in the deep part of the sea that no one ever hardly sees unless you got a camera and go down there. That's God. That's God. That's my God. And listen, a God like that, you think you're going to figure Him out? You think you're going to be able to put Him in a little box and say, now I understand everything about God? No, His understanding is past finding out. I mean, He's infinite. All right, take your Bibles this morning and, let's turn to, first of all, find 2 Samuel chapter 10. We're not going to be there right away. That's kind of where we're going to end up eventually. But I want you to go ahead and find it so when the time comes, it'll be readily available to us. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And then once you find that, mark it with a piece of paper or something. I'm going to put a piece of paper there. Then go to the book of Matthew. Oh, Matthew chapter 3, because that'll be our first reference this morning. Matthew chapter 3. All right, let's once again pray during this Sunday school hour and ask God's blessings here. Lord, I do thank You, Father. I thank You for this opportunity that we have just to, in a Sunday school hour for a little bit of time here to set aside to come together and open Your words. And Lord, I ask God that You'd give us some understanding from these words this morning. Lord, this world is in deep need and is just... The pastor just has showed us There are some people who are not thinking correctly. There are some people out there whose minds are totally confused. And I realize that some of them, that's what they want, God. They don't want the truth. And I realize there's others, though, that because of those who are presenting such a confusing view, they spread a viral propagandic type of spirit and vision for people to get them all confused. And Lord, we don't want to be confused especially when it concerns things that we should be doing that's right and wrong and pleasing and bringing You glory. So God, I pray, Father, this morning as we deal with Your words, we search these scriptures this morning. God, give us light. And Lord, may that light illuminate us and cause us to bring You glory and bring You honor and magnify the truth that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my subject this morning, this Sunday school time, is going to be on thinking and consequences. Thinking and consequences. I want us to look in the Scriptures this morning and do some study about thinking. Just as the pastor read, there are somebody ain't thinking, and if they are, they're thinking incorrectly. Thinking is very important. Most people do it without even thinking about it. Really. I mean, you just make a decision, do this, do that, and a lot of people are such in a passive state and put there by different means that they pick up a pattern of thinking and a form of thinking that is often very detrimental. Very often it leads to a very dangerous path and a godless path. But first thing I want to show you here in the book of Matthew, I want to show you that during the life of Christ, when He was down here walking around men, He often challenged men's thinking. For example, you're here in Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 9. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able these stones to rise up children unto Abraham." You know what Jesus Christ says right there? He says, "And think not to say." He challenged their thinking. He knows what they're thinking, see? They think there's something special because of their connection. They're Jews. And He says, hey, don't be thinking that. Now look at chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And there's a bunch of them. I'll just give you a few here, right here in the Gospel of Matthew, just to show you. The Lord challenged people's thinking. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." You know, there was people in Christ's day who, when He showed up and said the things He said, and even they said this of His followers and of those that would preach by His call later on, that would think, "Hey, you know what you're doing? You're doing this, doing this, and doing this." And He said, "Listen, I didn't come to destroy the law, but He's come to fulfill it." Now, some of you this morning been born again saved, and your thinking is correct, you know the blessing that is. That someone has come and fulfilled the law, something that none of us could do. But these men's thinking, that not only many of them thought that they could fulfill the law by their own righteousness, but also they thought that He was someone who had come to prevent the truth instead of present the truth. Don't you find that today many times when you open the Scriptures up? Well, He says, Jesus Christ challenged, "Think not that I am come. Think not that I am come." Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 7. "But when ye pray, use not vain reputations, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." You know, He says, you know what? You better check out the way you're thinking about it. And of course, here this is dealing with prayer, and He's again challenging. "For they think." He's telling them people, don't think like those other people. Check out what you're thinking. And that was concerning prayer. Now look at Matthew chapter 9. Over and over again, you'll find this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. Matthew 9:4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" You know what he's saying there? He says he knew what they were thinking. He knew exactly what they were getting at. They thought he was blaspheming. And he says, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" Why are you thinking that evil in your hearts? Why is that coming out? I mean, why would that individual be so concerned this morning about anti-Muslim speech than about people's lives in danger by an obvious threat? Why do they think that? Matthew 18, look at it again. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, look at verse 12. Matthew 18, verse 12. "How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth in the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray?" You know what he says there? "How think ye?" He's, again, just bringing to the thought of challenging their thinking. And I'll show you one more before we move on. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 28. And he starts out there in verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" But he starts out by saying, "But what think ye?" Over and over again, you'll find Jesus Christ challenging the thinking of men. How they think. What they think about. Why are they thinking a certain thing? This tells me that thinking is, it's a big part of our being. It's, it has a lot to do with what we do, why we do. And the reason it's so important to the Lord is because come to Genesis chapter 6. Come to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 6. Many people would like to think that thinking is just a mental exercise, and it has to do with education and so forth. But thinking goes a lot deeper than just the mind, just the function of the brain. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, Genesis 6 verse 5, notice this. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, what you find when you start comparing Scripture with Scripture in the Bible is that a man's thinking is connected with his heart. The thoughts, the thinking process, it's not just a mere physiological, you know, just the brain working. There's a heart involved here. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. It's all through the Bible. Isaiah chapter 10. Now here's a situation here in this chapter in which the Lord has chosen a ruler, a national leader, an Assyrian ruler, and he's got plans for him. And it says in verse 7, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few." There the Lord is connecting the thinking process in his heart. He don't even think about it, but what's in his heart and going to be come forth to make some decisions is he's going to cut off some nations and not a few. And he says he don't even recognize that. You know, a lot of what people, when they get caught up in things and allow things to lead them and guide them, the things that they take and believe, the things that they embrace as a truth or as a philosophy of some sort, principle in life, a lot of times they don't know what at the heart of the matter is. They got heart trouble. And a lot of what educators think in this country and politicians think and leaders think that, it's education, education, education. When it's not education, it's a heart trouble. It's a heart trouble. And there are certain things you can do to give knowledge, and there are certain things you can give that will never get to the heart of the matter or to the root of the matter, which is the heart. He says over in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, he says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? We read a few minutes ago. And then again in Matthew 15, 19, he says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy, and so forth. Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the thinking is that process, that ability is connected with a man's heart. With a man's heart. And what you think about, the decisions that you use in your thinking process, that those steps there, is connected with your heart. And man is made up in three parts to man. Man has a body, and he is a soul, and he's a spirit. And the real you is a soul. That's the real you. And you have a body in which your soul lives in. And that soul is affected by a spirit. Because you have a spirit within you. Even a lost man has a spirit, but it's dead according to the Bible. I'm not going to go real deep in all that. Most of you have probably been taught by your pastor very well on this subject. But that spirit there, if it's dead, of course it doesn't have fellowship and connection with God. It doesn't have the faith, the hope, or the things that it needs, the light there. All that dead spirit has is it's connected to the things of a body in this world and the five senses which come through the body. But if you're saved in here, you got the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit of God in you will allow you to get in this book and for yourself to read in the book, but not only that, have another man teach you and instruct you. And that Holy Spirit can help you think and have a thinking process that will be helpful to you pleasing God and magnifying the Lord. What happens too often is Christians, saved people, instead of going to that Holy Spirit of God that's in them, They act and practice just like a lost man, and the only thing that ever influences their thinking is what they see, what they hear in the sense of things of this world, what they taste, what they feel. That's it. That's it. And that's not all there should be for you if you're saved, and that shouldn't be all there is for you. Now take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You that are saved, born again, there are different ways you can think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at verse 20. Of course, Paul here, he's writing to the Corinthians. If you know anything about the Corinthian church, it had multiple problems, lots of problems. But notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You know what? You can have vain thoughts. You can have some thoughts that are just vain. They're empty. There's nothing to them. And the world and the flesh always have a way to, either through the use of vocabulary or the use of esteeming it as something great, to look at those same faults as something worthy to think about. And you're capable of thinking a very vain way, having vain thoughts, empty thoughts, empty thoughts. But not only that, look at chapter 13, this same book. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what he's in that list of things? Is thoughts. Thoughts. Childish thoughts. You can think like a child. You can be a grown man that has got a degree in some field of engineering or science or just as someone that has experience in life, and your thoughts are childish. They're childish. Now, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Well, let's see. Let's start here, and let's go ahead and start in verse 1. And we'll get down to the verse I want to point out to you, but let's go ahead and read so you can get the context here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So you're supposed to take your body, its outward shell, and you're supposed to present it as a living sacrifice. Okay, that's what Scripture says here. Then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there he talks about the mind. That's where you think. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There we go with the thinking process again. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, in those few verses there, and especially verse 3 where I was headed, you see the thought life. The thought life of a child of God is being challenged. It's, hey, think about it. Don't think more highly of yourselves. Think soberly according as God had dealt to every man. So you see here, there's a lot in the Bible on thinking. A whole lot. There's some warnings that we ought to be... We see what happened when Jesus Christ dealt with the Pharisees. We see the path that they took, how they rebelled against Jesus Christ, how they were envious of Jesus Christ, how they eventually screamed out and had the people scream out, crucify him, crucify him. Their thoughts and what they thought was totally messed up. Now come back to 2 Samuel now, where I told you to mark in your Bible there, 2 Samuel chapter 10. And I want us to look at an illustration in the Scriptures that will kind of illustrate a little bit of what I've been trying to show you, make you think about thinking. 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And let's read here some verses. Begin verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father? That he has set comfort, that he has sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off the one's half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even in their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David. And the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Bethrob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen of King Maacah, 1,000 men of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And verse 7, when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Now, for time's sake, let's jump down here a few verses to verse 18. And get the end of the story here. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. Now, here's a story that took place in the life of David. And I want to point out several things here that regards what we've been searching the Scriptures this morning and looking at here concerning thinking. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 3, a challenge to the thinking. I told you Jesus Christ challenged men to thinking, but notice here, the men come to the ruler here and says to him in verse 3, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father? They're saying, hey, listen, do you really think, how you're thinking, do you think this is really going to be a blessing and an honor? You think he's really doing that? And at that time, when he was challenged, he had a decision to make. He had two lines of thoughts. He could have said, well, yeah, I do think that. Or he could have said, no, you're right. And that's exactly what he did. He listened to what they had to say. And that's often what happens in the thinking process. There's a couple different, sometimes there are multiple, sometimes it's just one or two. But in the thinking process, there's different paths. And there are different powers, there are different influences that try to take advantage of the reasoning, of the process. The flesh, the senses. And a lot of people are just so carnal. And when I say a lot of people, I'm not just talking lost men. A lot of Christians are just so carnal in their thinking. That's what controls them, their senses. And then there's the spirit. The spirit. Well, like I said, you that are saved, you're supposed to have a good spirit, right? You have the Holy Spirit of God in you. Do you realize you're instructed in the Bible? I believe it's in chapter 7, verse 1 of Corinthians. I believe that's right. I don't have that written here for sure, but that's what comes to my mind. Talks about to be keep your spirit clean. Not only in body, but your spirit clean. And of course, there's other outside forces that influence, you know, things like money and other things. All those things are working to take advantage. Now, these men came to the king and said, hey, you know what they were doing? They were working to get the king to think a certain way. And in verse 4, you see the reaction. Wherefore, Hanun. That's the reaction to his thinking. He listened, he took it in, and then a line of reasoning was accepted. And actions were a result. Paranoia took over in this case. And immediately the paranoia took over and some things begin happening and the ball begins to roll and the fruit of the thinking, which we read in verse 18 and verse 19, come to fruition. Now listen, David wanted to be a blessing. David wanted to do something that he thought that would be good. And he gave the command to be done. The king, apparently at first, doesn't have a problem with it, but all of a sudden he's challenged by some that says, hey, listen, this ain't good. You think this is good, King? This ain't good. And I don't know what all the motives here involved. I won't go all into that in there. A lot of times in our prayers, we ought to be praying as things we're dealing with, is God give us discernment with things like that. Give us discernment. And in this case here, there's no prayer. There's nothing. This man just immediately, he makes a reaction. He makes a decision. And because of that, in verse 18 and 19, as we read, there's a battle that takes place. And of course, it talks about more about it in the verses there. I mean, he goes and gets a coalition together and gets some troops and some mercenaries, and there's a battle that takes place. And just because of a man's thinking, and his thinking was challenged, and he ends up making a bad decision, there is a lot of death involved here. When you read through that list, you know, it's easy just to look at words and say, okay, they fled before Israel, okay, 700 chariots of Syrians, and that's a lot of property damaged. 40,000 horsemen smote Shobak, the captain of their host, who died there. There's death going on. There's a whole lot of activity going on right there, and as a result of that, there's going to be some people who's losing their lives. Just because a man thought wrong. Just because he thought wrong. Thinking is important. Now, you and I, we may not have that much power. We may not have, 40,000 chariots or 100 men or whatever the case may be. But you got an influence. You men in here, you fathers, and grandfathers, and uncles, you got an influence. You influence your family. You influence other families. You ladies in here, you mothers, you sisters, you aunts, you grandmothers, you got an influence. And the things that you think that you make decisions of what you do, they are important. They are very important. Because what you do, your thoughts are going to come to fruition. It's going to bear some fruit. And if they're incorrect, they could be very detrimental. Could be very detrimental to your families, very detrimental to someone else. Your pastor read this morning about that pastor. I mean, what a thing. Get up and tell people, I just feel uncomfortable about God and all. I mean, where was his thinking? You know, I mean, what in the world would, well, you know, that's going to have an influence. Do you realize the people that are going to be influenced by what he says, who looked up to him? Do you know what the fallout may happen because of something like that? Now, like I said, I don't know anything about the guy. And it's easy for me to sit here and just write him off as just, well, he's just some liberal, you know, non-Bible believer, whatever. But there's people going to be affected. People are going to be affected by that. And sometimes, you know, it's very easy just to think, and to do without ever considering what you think. And how do you get to that place of thinking about what you're thinking? Now, how could this story have been different? How could what we just read here in 2 Samuel chapter 10, how could it have been different? Well, first of all, some facts could have been sought out, right? I don't see anywhere where the king here had checked out anything, tried to find out, hey, is this really spies? There was nothing done to try to find out the facts. Boy, isn't that a lot of what's said today? A lot of what comes across the mainstream media, things that are taught and supposed to be embraced as correct thinking, it's not based on facts. It's just basically just put out there to create paranoia, to create a concern, to get people steered in a certain way. And it's a shame that so many people are so passive, they don't take time to find out the facts. They just, oh. And of course, today, with all our technology, I mean, you can make it so convincing. You ever see these documentaries on animals, and they'll talk about the evolution process, you know, they'll use this picture, this animal that lived billions of years ago, and they'll tell you all kind of things about them. Well, he did this because he got depressed, you know. I mean, you know, he ate this certain kind of foods because... I mean, it's like they just went down there to the woods and studied him personally for their lifetime, you know, making all the notes. You to hear them talk, you think, whoa. They're just throwing out a bunch of garbage, really, and just making people to think. Getting people to think. Getting people's minds so geared. I like animals. You know, I like dogs, and I really like eating certain animals. I enjoy eating. But, you know, I realize an animal's an animal. You know, I got a dog. I think a lot of my dog. I go out there and talk to him sometimes. I even pray for him at times because he's been sick and stuff. I can't afford a vet. I pray for him. I don't want to have to shoot him. And, you know, I like him. He wags his tail. I like my dog. But he's a dog. That's all he is. He is a dog. You know what a lot of people nowadays think? They're a lot more than that. How did he get the thinking by that? How did they come to those thoughts that animal is really sitting there? You ever see these commercials where they show these animals there in some pen somewhere? And there's all, you know, and tears coming down their eyes, you know. Oh, look at that poor animal. They're thinking, you know. I really don't think my dog right now is a whole lot concerned with me. Okay? I don't think he's, where's he at, you know? Because my son is still there feeding him. Now, if somebody wasn't there feeding him, he would have some more concerns. So listen, thoughts. People think. People get thinking certain patterns and incorrect thoughts. And incorrect thoughts leads to bad habits and bad actions. You know what this king could have done? He could have been a little bit more patient, couldn't he? Why did he start doing the certain things he did? Did you notice that in the scriptures there when the men were brought back in shame, David didn't say, "Hey, let's go knock in some doors, man. Let's take some names and shoot them. Let's nuke them till they glow." That ain't what David did. It wasn't until, if you look at the story, it wasn't until again they started mounting an army that David thought, "Wait a minute, I'm going to have to fight here. I'm going to have something to do." They start. A process of wrong thinking, a process going on. Now, let's take your Bible here, and I want to show you just a few things here at the end of the class. I just want to show you a few things in the Scriptures that can help you develop good thinking. All right, come to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, let's be really honest. What I'm saying this morning, I'm not trying to tell every little thought that comes to your mind. You can't stop and just, okay, let's spend some time here. I mean, there's a lot of things that you have to react to pretty quickly. There are times in certain decisions that you make that, sure, they demand prayer. They demand some thoughts. Don't race into them. Don't hastily make a decision. It's good to be patient. But not all decisions. I mean, you're going to be faced with information. You're going to be faced with quick decisions. Now, here are some things that hopefully, if you practice these things and take these things serious, you'll see that they can help your thinking process. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now you see right there, that verse talks about the Word of God. It talks about its being alive. It talks about its power. But most of you, that verse is not strange. I'm sure your pastor preached probably from it, taught from it. But again, just coming back and see how important the Word of God is, it deals with the spirit, the joints of marrow, there's your body, and as a discerner of those thoughts and that heart, the intents, it gets down there where the thinking process is. The Word of God is such a great source for your thinking process. And maybe you don't think about it too often when you're reading it, but as you're reading it, there's a washing process that goes on. The Word of God, as it goes in, things that you had thought about that aren't correct, maybe that some things there you're concerned with, whatever, and the Word of God gets in, and you say, you know what, I shouldn't worry about that. I shouldn't consider that. I shouldn't think about that. Or it goes in and it says, hey, listen, that's a good thought to have. That's good things to think about. It's a great source of authority. If you believe the Word of God is the words of God, and you ought to, amen, you ought to believe that King James Bible is the words of God. And by having that faith in that, that's a great authority. You don't have to get up and say, I don't know about God. I'm uncomfortable with God talk. Hey, go to the authority and find out what the authority says about God talk. Huh? I've been living on the edge of faith. Is that what the authority says about it, the edge of faith? I mean, we got something we can read. It's words. Words that God can use to work upon our heart, work upon our person, to give us authority, to give us counsel, to give us wisdom, to give us guidance. The Word of God, it is so important to the thinking process. Just constantly getting that Bible. Constantly getting that Bible. Having that Word of God kind of put you in the right frame of mind and to also illuminate you with the correct light and truth that you need. Because in a day's time, you come in contact with so much garbage. Something you read, something you see, something you hear. Constantly you're just coming in and your thinking is being challenged. Constantly. Constantly. By your own flesh, it's being challenged. So the Word of God is a great source. Now come to Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. We touched on it the other night and preaching a few nights ago back, but let's go back here and read a little bit more of it. Psalms chapter 73. Something to help our thinking. Psalm 73. And look at verse 16. For time's sake, if you're familiar with the psalm here, if you're not, maybe you can look over it again later on your own time. But you'll see here the psalmist kind of gets the mully grubs and starts having some incorrect thoughts and looking at things. But down in verse 16, it says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until, verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know what? We get together like this for services. You know what's going to go on? I'm doing it this morning. We have preaching service here in just a little bit. Your thoughts are going to be challenged. Your thinking's going to be challenged. The Word of God is going to be presented. There's going to be some truth. There's going to be some things that come out to see. And so when we go to church and we get under preaching and teaching in the Word of God, some things. Haven't you ever gone into a service, whether it's teaching or preaching, and boy, you got some confirmation about something? You got some assurance about something? You felt better. Maybe you didn't feel too good when you were first coming in, but all suddenly, hey, you got some understanding. Church, at least a church where the Word of God is preached. Amen? Not just any church, not just going to church, but where the truth is preached. Listen, God can help you the way you think. Look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Number of scriptures again on some of these areas, but for time's sake, just kind of show you a few of them. Psalms 139, look at verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. The psalmist here says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." Now there's prayer. There the psalmist is praying. He's asking God to search him. You know, that's a good thing. When you got decisions to make, it's a good thing to go to prayer and ask God to help you see your real motive, help you have some discernment in, hey, is this a good decision or a bad decision? God, you know my heart. Like I said, every thought you have, you can't handle that way. I understand. But if you start your day out and praying and asking God for some help and asking God for some wisdom, because you and I both know within our hearts there's some things there that aren't good counsel. There are some things in our hearts that really can mislead us if we're influenced by the wrong thing. So it's good to have prayer. Prayer is a good source in which you can ask God, who knows your heart, ask Him to bring forth and manifest that you can have a right heart. And then, let's look at one more here in Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And here's the faith and the trust. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Now, your trust ought to be in the will of God for your life and what God wants in your life. And when you start trusting the Lord and what you do, what you do to His will and to His works, and what you're doing to His service, and you're honest, and being honest, that faith and that trust can be a source of maintaining proper thoughts. To give you an example of that, you know, when I first got saved, there's a lot of things I didn't know. There's a lot of things I was confused about. Really, a lot of things I was really confused about. My older brother who got saved before I did, wound up in a church where they believed in speaking in tongues and all kind of different things. And after I got saved, he, of course, come to me and took me to service and tried to say, "Listen, you need to do this and you need to get this baptism and you need all these things." And I had went, as an 18-year-old boy, I had went to a Baptist preacher after that with a Bible in my hand one evening, knocked on a Baptist preacher. He was a doctor from a seminary. And I went in there, and he invited me in, offered me a glass of tea, and we sit down, and he asked, "Well, what can I do for you?" And I asked him a Bible question. The first question I asked him, I said, "Well, listen, I've been influenced, and I want to know about tongues. This is tongues in the Bible. Is it something I should be concerned with?" And what he told me was, "Well, it is for some people, and some people it's not." And that was the end of the conversation. No Bible study, no opening the Bible, not him. It was just, that was it. And then he started asking me, you know, I was getting ready to graduate, getting ready to go into the military, just small talk. I sat there thinking, no. 18 years old, I walked away from there thinking, there's got to be something to that. There's got to be something. There's got to be an answer. And when I got in the service, I really was faced with many things. I went in the military and went through my basic training. I had a real desire to see people get saved. Didn't know a whole lot, but I knew enough scripture to get people saved, and I started trying to witness there, and I'd get on fire watch where you stay up all night and you watch the barracks, and I'd have guys get out of their bunks, and of course people are homesick and different things, and guys going through marriage trouble, all kind of things started coming to me and asking me all kind of questions. I had Jehovah's Witness, I had Mormons. And I started thinking, well, I didn't have the answers. You know, I could simply tell them about the new birth. And I can remember praying and telling the Lord, you know, God, I don't know. You know, I don't know all these answers, but I sure wish you'd show me the truth. You'll show me the truth, I'll tell somebody. If you'll show me the truth, I will surrender to your service. You know what that is? I was doing the best I could with what I knew. Trying to be faithful, trying to live clean, not get involved in the junk going on. You know what God did for me? God got me the truth. God brought a man my way, as He did the Ethiopian eunuch, and it opened up the Scriptures and said, listen, and boy, when the lights came on and I started getting fed, the only wrong thought that I had at that time was I thought everybody would want to hear it. Boy, I had to get that thinking corrected. But boy, I'm glad I got the truth. I'm sure I'm glad I got something, and I'm glad I've got somewhere I can go and help me in a world that is so confused, in a world that is so messed up. I can go somewhere and I can get some things that can help me with my thinking to think right. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Scriptures. Lord, I thank You for the words of God, Lord.